This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs and with me today are Lim Soo Ann and Dashran Johan. So we have two stories for you today. In our first story, in a recent Dear Mariella column on The Guardian, a 19-year-old girl wrote in saying that she's lost her spark for life. There are also loads of queries on sites like Reddit and Quora in which young people ask, what can they do if they've lost their spark for life? So we've got you covered. We'll be speaking to an expert to find out.
Yeah, and for our second story, every year on September 13, readers, libraries and booksellers around the world celebrate children's book author Roald Dahl, who is renowned for works like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, The BFG and Matilda. But what makes Dahl's work so distinctive and memorable decades after they were written is his ability to blend laughs and adventure with the harsh realities of life. So as we deal with a particularly challenging year, we look at Roald Dahl's children's books and how they help children make sense of the darker and more difficult aspects of life.
And on that note, on our Twitter poll today, we're asking you if you enjoy his books. So your options are yes, they're lick swishy, meh, they're not matches, or no, they're crot twinkly. So you can tell us which of Roald Dahl's books is your favourite, and you can tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
So as Julian mentioned earlier, in a recent Dear Mariella column on The Guardian, a 19-year-old girl wrote in saying she's lost her spark for life. She wrote, and I quote, "It's been years since I felt that sparkle, even though I've done things and been to places that I really liked, and that changed me in a positive way. My bucket list in life is very long and full of diverse activities and trips, but I never seem to enjoy that much when I'm doing it. I usually only realize how good it was afterwards, and I feel lucky about what I had experienced, but my heart never beats fast."
Yes, but this isn't an isolated case. Do a quick Google search and you'll find numerous queries by young people on sites such as Quora and Reddit, asking what they can do if they've lost their spark or purpose for life. There are also numerous articles, reports and studies that point towards young people becoming increasingly sad, miserable or simply feeling like they've lost the spark for life. For example, a study in the UK found that slightly more than 50% of teenagers in the UK rated themselves as sometimes or always miserable, and only 57% of UK teenagers feel like their life has purpose. It's really quite tragic.
It is. And in an article on Psychology Today, Dr. Lauren Suero wrote that while no one can really agree about the millennial generation, so some say they're the generation to push for positive change, while others have labelled them as lazy and entitled, but one thing is fairly certain, they are stressed out. Millennials seek psychotherapy more than members of Generation X and any other previous generation. Dr. Lauren believes one of the common reasons for this is money. So many young people are having trouble finding jobs, and they harbour serious concerns about making enough money to start their lives in earnest.
But it isn't just money. Social media could be another reason. A 2017 study done in the US found that the more you use Facebook over time, the more likely you are to experience negative physical health, negative mental health, and negative life satisfaction as well. So the same can be said about Instagram, in which most people only post glamorous photos or just showcase the best parts of their life, making users to believe that that's how life should be 24 hours of the day, 7 days a week.
Yes, and many experts have also said that there is an increasing amount of young people going through a quarter-life crisis, and there are surveys to back this up. So a survey conducted by LinkedIn found that close to one-third of Malaysian youth, both male and female, admitted that they are affected by a quarter-life crisis. And among 1,003 Malaysian youth who were involved in the survey, about three-quarters of them felt pressured to succeed, whether in relationships, career or finances, despite already having full-time jobs. And some suffered anxiety trying to find a job or career that they are passionate about.
And it seems like these are all contributing factors to why many millennials feel sad and lost, which in turn makes them question the purpose of life or simply just lose their spark for life altogether. And the question is, what can young people do if they are feeling this way? Well, to help us unpack everything, we have on the line with us Hugh Gill, who's a professor of psychology and associate provost at Sunway University. So hello, Prof Hugh, welcome to the show. To just kick things off, you know, based on your observations, are there an increasing number of young people who are losing their spark for life? And if so, why do you think that is?
I'm not sure that more young people are losing their spark for life. I think what's happening is that we're more aware of the fact some young people are losing their spark for life. This is something that has always happened through human history, but in the past we perhaps didn't talk about it so much. And maybe one of the reasons that we're more aware of it now is because of social media. And social media is a great way of sharing information, but it can also be something that actually quite upsets people. Because when you look at social media, you assume all your friends are having an absolutely wonderful time. Nobody ever posts stuff that's not happy on social media. They tend to emphasize the good things in their lives. So young people are being bombarded all the time with information suggesting that everybody else is having a better time than them. Of course, it isn't true. And we're now beginning to talk about the fact that perhaps sometimes this makes people feel a little bit unhappy.
So do you think that young people are exposed to too many messages on social media or otherwise on the need to find absolute happiness or the need to do it, to be in a job that you're truly passionate about? And can this then make young people sadder when they aren't able to achieve it?
There's a huge myth in the modern world that everybody can achieve happiness. I'm afraid the truth is that life is hard. Life is never going to be easy all the time for anybody, and it never, ever has been easy all the time for anybody. We don't live in novels or films. There's not always a happy ending. And also, nobody's life is perfect. It's a myth that anybody's life can ever be perfect. It's a myth that anybody themselves is perfect. The thing to realize is that the bad bits, the difficult bits of life, are actually the things that give the best bits of life that more meaning. So, you know, advice, for example, to follow your passion in work generally doesn't work. It's not effective. It's much better to do something you're good at and use what you can earn to do the things you really want to do. Then follow your passion. You know, if you want to do your hobby as a job and you can do that, great. Most people, that's never going to be an option. So accept it, embrace it, and realize you can actually spend your time when you have your free time doing the things that really matter to you. That's what gives your life meaning.
Hmm. And what would your advice be to young people who say they've lost that spark and purpose for life?
Well, if you're waking up every morning and you're feeling sad, my advice would be seek some professional advice and guidance. You may be edging into depression, but that might be something we'll talk about in a moment. But the most important thing is to feel grateful. We live at the most amazing time in human history, and I mean the most amazing time. We have the biggest life expectancy. We have the easiest and the best lifestyle that anybody in history has ever had before. There are options open to us today that our grandparents couldn't even have dreamt of. You live life today better than any king did 200 years ago. That's how good your life really is. So be grateful for that. Focus on the positive. Also, think about, what is your life really about? Now, this is a really strange piece of advice, but I give it to a lot of people. Imagine your funeral, right? I'm afraid we are all mortal. There will come a day where hopefully a group of people will gather together to remember us. What do you want them to say? What do you want them to talk about? Think about what you want those people to say and make that your life's goal. Make those things that you want them to say the things that you try and do every day. Think about what you want to achieve, the kind of person you want to be, and the legacy you want to leave behind. And realize that you're lucky enough to have the opportunity to actually do something about it.
And what do you do when the things you once found exciting or fun no longer bring you joy?
The first thing is not to worry. If there are old pleasures you no longer find pleasurable, don't worry about it. Think back. Probably you were about 7 or 8 years old, and you imagine that day when you were going to be grown up, you would have your own credit card, and you could go into the toy shop, and you could buy absolutely everything you wanted to buy and go home and play with it. Now, when you got your first credit card, did you go to the toy shop? Of course you didn't. When I was a child, I thought as a child. Now I'm a man. I've put away childish things. So your pleasures change through life. And what you need to do is begin to appreciate different kinds of pleasure. So when we're younger, we tend, for example, to like sweet things. We like sweet cake. But that is not as exciting and as pleasurable as, for example, learning a new skill, learning to play a musical instrument, or learning a new language. So try different new things. Appreciate them for what they actually are, particularly things like great art, philosophy. Look at religious traditions. They will give meaning to your life. That's why they're there. That's why they've been a comfort to people all the way through centuries and millennia of human history, because they give our lives purpose and they tell us that there is more to life than the short, quick fix, that actually life is about a longer-term meaning, about the people we can be, and of course, we have the choice to be. So make yourself your life project.
You know, there are some who say, you know, I have a high-paying job, I come from a privileged family, a healthy romantic relationship, you know, those sorts of things, yet I don't feel happy. So what can one do if faced with this situation?
The reality of life is that much of what we do is routine. In any job that you do, probably after about 3 or 4 years, you've done pretty much most of the things you're ever going to do in that job. So if you're looking for stimulation, it's up to you to decide to start learning to do new things, to involve yourself in other things. And think about giving back. If you're really lucky, you've got a fantastic job, great personal relationships, what are you giving back to society? What are you doing for other people? How are you using the wonderful gifts that you've been given to help other people improve their lives? Because ultimately, real meaning in life comes from our associations with other people, the people we love and the people who love us, and what we can do for them and how we can help them improve their lives. So focus not on what you have, focus on what you can give. That's the true secret to a happy life.
And how would you know if you're just going through a tough phase of life or if you're having depression?
It's very difficult to know if you're in the early stages of depression. There are so many different ways that unhappiness can affect us. And if it becomes prolonged, the changes that may take place in ourselves become very hard to notice. But often the people around us will actually be able to recognize whether or not we're beginning to slip into depression. And if the people around you are concerned, then please seek professional help and advice. There's no stigma in doing that. Go and speak to a professional. A professional can guide and assist you to seek the help that you need. But also remember, most of us have bad days. Most of us have days where we feel really unhappy. We don't want to get out of bed in the morning. And it's normally about anxiety. It's about fear of what might happen, not what has happened. So most of us get scared of potential threats, not real things. And once you begin to realize it's your imagination that actually makes you anxious, it's your imagination that makes you upset, you can begin to change your thinking. Start realizing that actually, the stuff you're facing today isn't as bad as you thought it was. Do you know what? By the end of the day, you'll have finished and you'll be on to the next day tomorrow. So always focus on the fact that it's yourself and your perceptions that actually shape the way that you see the world. The world is not necessarily the way you think you see it. Be positive. Don't just think, oh, my glass is half empty. Think, wow, I've got a glass. How lucky am I? And suddenly your life will take a turn for the better. Remember, it's in your own hands.
Before we let you go, Prof Hugh, do you have a final message to anyone who's listening who may be feeling like they've lost their spark for life?
Remember, nobody's life is perfect. Listen to the people who want the best for you. Listen to the people who love you and care for you. Take their advice and remember to be there for them when they need you. That's the secret to a happy life.
Thank you so much, Professor Hugh. That was Professor Hugh Gill, a professor of psychology and associate provost at Sunway University. I think it sounds like he was describing my life almost, you know, that anxiety, especially, you know, on a Sunday night. I don't know about you guys. That's how I felt last night, you know, just. But of course, again, it's, you know, just doing things that I've been doing all this while. But there's always that anxiety when you're, I don't know, when you're coming to a new day, isn't it?
Yeah, I feel that occasionally. But I've also noticed that a lot of my friends like feel this very strongly. And when I talk to them during gatherings and all that, it always seems like, you know, I think it could be a pattern among many young people where they seem stuck, you know, between, you know, feeling that the economy is, and the housing market is rigged against us. So should I get a high paying job? But at the same time, we're also exposed to the idea that we should do something that we are passionate about, things that we are interested in. And only then, you know, you'll feel like you don't have to work, you know, so you have to go for something you like. But what if something you like isn't something that pays well? So there's all these different things. And I feel that they wake up just wondering, like, so what's the point? you know, anymore.
It sounds
yeah.
very dire. Yeah.
It is. And I share, I mean, sort of, I've heard a lot of people, my peers, my cousins, especially people who have struggled with that. You know, do you get a job that you would earn more, that would give you the luxuries of life that you want, but at the same time, you might feel miserable in it? And how do you balance that, right? And I think that's really interesting about what Prof Yu said, like find something that you're good at and do that, and then use what you earn to sort of pursue the hobbies that you enjoy, but also making sure that whatever you're doing also allows you the time to pursue those luxuries, right? Because you don't want to be stuck in a situation where you're working 24/7 and you might have the money, but you have no time nor energy to pursue those things.
Yeah, I think that working 24/7, that whole work-life balance thing also, it's not something that, you know, I've heard my parents and all talking about, or my grandparents.
Not at all.
Yeah, so it's something that we are also, like, I think a lot of us are sort of like fighting with, you know, how we have this conflict that, you know, which direction should we go? And it all sorts of, I think it just makes us very uncertain about a lot of things. Yeah.
And then I suppose, you know, there's also, we are in the middle of a pandemic, you know, there's so much uncertainty. You know, should we be feeling that way? You know, we need to survive right now, right? I mean, that's the kind of crisis that I go through. You know, when I start feeling sorry for myself, I'm like, okay, you are employed, you've got a healthy family, you know, you just need to snap out of it. But I don't think that works for everyone, right? Because everyone is going through different things. Everyone is having different ways of reacting to it. But, you know, have you lost your spark for life, you guys? Do you feel that way?
I think, thankfully, I have not, because I still, you know, like you mentioned, you know, although, let's say, COVID-19, the whole period throughout MCO was really tough, I always remind myself that, you know, at the very least, first of all, I have a job.
Yeah, you know, definitely.
A lot of people don't. And secondly, I'm doing a job that I really like. So far, I've been lucky in that sense, you know, touch wood, it continues. I've been lucky to be able to do things that I like and make money from it. So maybe that's one of the reasons why I feel that I'm quite okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't feel that I've lost my purpose in life and all those kinds of things. Yeah.
I mean, I echo a lot of what Dash said. And it's also, and again, it's that, sometimes it's that struggle of finding that work-life balance, right? And in between finding time for work and life, you sacrifice sleep instead, which then really just affects everything else.
That's just the end of everything, right? I guess for me, it's slightly different. I have these existential crises where I think about the future, and because I have two young children, right? Mm. And then there's this guilt of the kind of planet that we're leaving them. So, you know, Earth matters and all of that, right? And those are the things that keep me up at night, actually. You know, like, everything seems to be going wrong. How do we snap out of it? How do we make this better, you know, with whatever talents that we have? And I guess, you know, that's why we do the job that we do, right? We try and speak to as many people as we can and crowdsource ideas on how to make things better.
And hopefully someone will listen.
Hopefully, there's always that hope. But, you know, if you have any thoughts, or if you're not, you know, you feel like you've lost your spark for life, you can always tell us about that. You know, tweet us at BFM Radio, or you can send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899. Tell us how you're coping. Tell us how you're getting through these, you know, somewhat trying times. We're going to take a short break now, but before that, we'll leave you with Otis Redding and The Happy Song. You're listening to The Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.